Before the message this morning, I just want to thank those of you who came yesterday to help to get things cleaned up. Very much appreciate that. That was a tremendous help and much, much needed. So thank you. The flooring out in the lobby is almost completed. Just some more to do this week. And one other thing, this Saturday, May 20th, is Armed Forces Day. And we don't often hear about that. You'll see that in your calendar. And it's dedicated to the individuals who are currently serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. And so just a reminder to pray for them and maybe to thank one who is currently serving. You say, well, we live in Greeley, Colorado. There's not too many that live here. Send a note to one. Just be a tremendous encouragement to them. If you need one, I'll tell you, you can encourage Benjamin. I think he would really appreciate that. They're in Germany, and so would appreciate your remembering that this week. His email is benunruh92@gmail.com if that's of interest to you. Well, today is Mother's Day, and I would like to recognize our mothers and thank you for how the Lord has used you, how you have allowed the Lord to use you. I'm so thankful for my mom. And I know I try to say this every year, but I can't help it. I mean, somebody once joked, without my mom, I wouldn't be here. There's two ways to take that. But the way I am talking about is to, you know, even having been born without my mom and the rearing that she gave me and my father, humanly speaking, I wouldn't be here. She was a godly woman, and many of you have met her years ago. She passed away in 2006. So I praise the Lord for my mother. I praise the Lord for my grandmothers, my two grandmothers. Martha Ayersman, my mom's mom, godly lady. I remember sitting in the kitchen on the farm there in Monroe, Nebraska, shelling peas with Grandma, and she was quoting scripture. And trying to get me to quote, us boys to quote scripture, and just really instilling in us things. And my grandmother, Edna Unruh, my dad's mom. And many memories of my grandmother. My great grandparents. So if I have two grandmothers, how many great grandmothers do I have? So the four of them. My great-greats, the eight of them. You say, well, how far are you going to go back? Well, that's about it. I knew my greats, my grandmother's mother. I'm trying to remember her first name, but it was Bergen. Last name was Bergen. And my grandfather's mother, Tina Unruh, there in Kansas. Then I come to my wife. And thank God for my wife. She's not here for me to embarrass, so I can say what I need to say, because she does get embarrassed. Folks, I praise God for my wife. Whatever our boys are, that is good. Obviously, we praise the Lord, but I praise the Lord for her and the godly influence that she had, the time spent, the love showered, the discipline given when it was deserved, and sometimes holding me back. And sometimes, many times, thanking me for doing what needed to be done. I thank God for my wife. So with that said, I want to recognize you mothers. And so if you are a mother, would you please stand and remain standing? And we just want to recognize you today. Thank you, moms, for allowing the Lord to use you. If you're a grandmother, remain standing. And my wife would be standing. If you are a great-grandmother, remain standing. Great grandmas, you're great. Any great greats? Did you have to look around and decide, Barb, if you wanted to stay standing? Great grandmothers, wow. I know if Dolores were here, she would stand on great, great. And Marilyn, that's right. And Marilyn. I think all mothers and grandmothers, I shouldn't say all, are great. Those who are godly, those who tried to raise their children biblically. Somebody once said that behind every great man there was a great woman. I want to rephrase that, and you can finish this. Behind every faithful man is a faithful. Now, you said woman. And some would fill that in and say, well, behind every faithful man is a faithful wife. And that is true. But before that faithful man had a faithful wife, he had a faithful mother. Amen. Mom preceded the wife. And many times that wife chose that man, or that man chose that wife, because of a mother's influence. I know I was kind of picky. I mean, I was 32 when I got married. And I remember one of the things that I had determined to do was to, okay, I want to see her mom. I want to see her dad. And I want to see how she interacts with her mom and dad. Because that says something. Juanita introduced Benjamin to his wife. Not only introduced, but encouraged. Because he's out there in the military. And we were at a wedding. Met her. Impressed with her. And her twin sister. And it's a joke today. How did you choose? Which one? And Juanita has her own answer for that, and she'll say it right in front of Sandra and Jamie. And I thank God for my daughters-in-law, Jamie and Carissa. There's a passage in the Bible that talks about a cloud of witnesses. Does anybody know where that is? What chapter or what book? Just say it out loud if you know. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go there first. Hebrews chapter 12. And this is going to introduce us to another mother who is mentioned. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and I believe that term witnesses refers back to all of those mentioned in chapter 11. A host of witnesses. They're not watching us today, but they are witnesses to God's grace, God's mercy, because of the faith that they had in Him. And I want to take you back to chapter 11, and included in that cloud is a mother who here in Hebrews 11:23 is unnamed. I read this verse last week because I preached verses 24 to 29 as an introduction to today's message. But here we see that by faith, Hebrews 11:23, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So here we have a mother. Her husband's name we learn in the Old Testament. I think it's Exodus chapter 6 and verse 20. His name was Amram. Her name is Jochebed. And that name Jochebed means Jehovah is glory. That's Jochebed. We learn of her unshakable faith in God with that of her husband that has her and him placed in the hall of faith in chapter 11. You see, without their faith, there would have been no child, humanly speaking, drawn out of the water by the daughter of Pharaoh, whom she, the daughter of Pharaoh, named Moses. And so Jochebed is otherwise unknown, but God used a faithful mother. Jochebed, Jehovah is glory. It's interesting, I've entitled this message, Faithful Mother, Faithful Child. Well, we read of the faith of Jochebed in verse 23, but where do we read of Moses' faith? Well, look at the rest of it, verses 24 to 29. But you say, why do you call him a faithful man? It says by faith. When somebody acts by faith, that is a faithful man. In fact, Moses is called a faithful man back in Hebrews 3:5, where it says, and Moses was very faithful in all his house. And yet his faith was preceded by the faith of his mother and of his father. Again, verse 23, I want you to notice it's by both parents because it says in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, plural. And the actual word there is the word for fathers. Pater, where we get patriarchy. So it's actually the father who's emphasized here. By his parents, because they, not she, not he, they saw he was a proper child. And they, not he, not she, were not afraid of the king's commandment. So I submit to you this morning that it wasn't just Amram the father, it was the mother. And in fact, when you go back to the Old Testament, where this story is given, Exodus chapters 1 and 2, it is Jochebed who alone is mentioned as the one who hides him for 3 months, Moses, when he's crying and probably screaming like any other baby will. She's the one who goes and builds this little ark made out of pitch and places him, no doubt, with all kinds of emotion in the water. No doubt prayerfully, but doing so by faith. And we'll talk more about that here in just a minute. But I just want to emphasize the faith of Amram and Jochebed and the faith of Moses. Faithful parents, faithful child. This morning, faithful mother, faithful child. Faithful mother, faithful child. Folks, children don't turn out well by accident. How many times people would compliment my mom and dad because of my seven siblings and I, and say, oh, you guys are so lucky that you have children who respect you. My dad said, that is not luck. That is intentional. And if you would spank your kids like you ought, this is my dad, if you'd spank your kids like you should, the Lord would use you in their life too. It's not an accident. Godly dad, godly child. Godly mom, godly child. Why was Moses a faithful man? He had a faithful dad. He had a faithful mom. And what's interesting is how long Jochebed had him. I referenced this last week. Because when he was of age, she turned him over to Pharaoh's daughter. You see, she, Pharaoh's daughter, did not know that Moses' mother was the one to whom she had turned over this little baby she found in the Nile River. Jochebed knew she only had a little bit of time. She knew, like I like to now tell people, they're going to grow up fast. I used to hate that when I was told that. Do a good job. They're gonna grow up fast. I look back. That was faster than I thought. That was so fast. I mean, you look at Little Justice and, you know, you tell Brandon and Jamie, hey, it's going to go fast. Oh, well, that'd be nice, you know, with him crying at night. And, you know, and I remember that. I remember that. But it goes fast. Think about the amount of time that Jochebed had with that little Moses. It wasn't much. And yet, it wasn't Moses' faith. It was the faith of his parents, chiefly that of Jochebed, his mother, who had to carry out what Jochebed and Amram no doubt stayed up late at night discussing, what are we going to do? That's why you get to Hebrews 11:23 and it says, by faith they. They. I know there's a little demon flying around. Just ignore the little moth. This is Miller season. Hate to be called Miller right now, but here it is. By faith. Jochebed has to carry it out. Amram's probably one of the slaves. He can't be there during the day. Jochebed has to carry out what they no doubt agreed the night before, weeks before, months before, prayed about. She has to put together that little ark. She has to make sure that it works, that he's not going to sink. By faith, she places that in the Nile River. Behind most men and women of faith, there's at least one faithful parent. And today we're emphasizing the mother. And I think of one mother in the New Testament, I've referenced this before, who was really all alone. There was a father, but he wasn't doing much. His mother's name was Eunice. Paul wrote this letter and said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, that is the unhypocritical faith that is in you, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. Grandmothers, here you go. This is your day too. Well, I can get sidetracked so many times during this message because I need to preach to grandmothers too. Your job is not done as a grandmother. Now, you should not be interfering. But I still try to have an influence in my grandsons' lives by talking to my kids, my boys, being there when they have questions. Same with Juanita with her grandsons. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Yeah, faithful mom that dwelt first, the faith that dwelt first in you, faithful child, Timothy. So I want us to look this morning at how a faithful mother was involved in the preparation of a faithful man, Moses. Go back to Exodus chapter 2, and here we're going to see the story. Exodus chapter 2. I am assuming you know this story, but it actually begins all through chapter 1, basically beginning with verse 8 of chapter 1, how a new king comes in, did not know Joseph. He afflicts the children of Israel. In verses 15 and following, he commands, when they are multiplying so quickly, he commands that now you need to kill every male child. And that is taking place all through verses 15 to verse 22. Verse 22, every son that is born, you shall cast alive into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Chapter 2, and there went out a man of the house of Levi, took to wife a daughter of Levi. They're both not named here. Later on, their names are given. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And so I have here, first of all, how was this faithful mother involved in the preparation of a faithful man? Because she was a faithful woman who refused. I call this a faithful mother's refusal. Jochebed saw, Exodus chapter 2, verse 2, that he was a goodly child. The way the writer of Hebrews puts it, he was a goodly child. Literally, beautiful. Well, the natural question is, so if the baby had been ugly, what would have happened? No, the idea is that this was a child that she realized and knew that God could use. As any godly mother will realize. It's helped by a literal translation of Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 20, where Stephen, a sermon I referenced last week in the message, said this in 7:20, and was very beautiful to God. It's not that the child was beautiful to her. By the way, how many babies are really cute? Only mine. You know, all the other babies are so ugly when they're born. Lord, I hope he's beautiful to you because he sure isn't to me. You know, hey, beautiful to God. Every child is beautiful to God. That's why abortion is so heinous. It's so wicked. She recognizes in her child what every mother would see in her own child, that every child is beautiful to God. And for this particular child, God had a special plan. And for every child, God has a plan. Jesus made clear that all children are precious to God. In fact, he said, if you offend one of these little ones, it were better that a millstone were hanged around your neck and you were cast into the sea. She refuses to follow the will of a wicked king, to take her child and to surrender it to the government and let them kill it. You say, man, I'm glad I didn't live in that day. Hey, you're living today where they're doing the same thing. She resolved to follow the will of God. Pharaoh is working feverishly to exterminate a large portion of the Israelites because these young boys will grow up to be men who will chafe at this, as men should. A true man should chafe at slavery. He should chafe at tyranny. And so while Pharaoh is working to exterminate the Israelites, God is working to emancipate them. And it began with a mother's faith. Think about it. Deliverance of Israel starts here. A mother who refused to permit her child to be thrown into the river. Two things about her kind of faith. Number one, her kind of faith disobeys. Her kind of faith disobeys. So kids think, okay, well, I guess it's okay for me to disobey too, because if it's okay for my mom to disobey, wait just a minute. I'm talking about the disobedience that's mentioned in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, where the Bible says, where the apostle said, we ought to obey God rather than men. When the government requires of me to do something that is in disobedience to God, I disobey the government. It's no accident that Moses stood up to Pharaoh. He had a mom who did the same thing. Mom did it first. Even when others were giving in, Stephen's sermon in Acts 7 and verse 19 indicates that the practice of men was, and I quote, to cast out their young children to the end they might not live. Due to the fear of the king's edict, her faith in God caused her to refuse in spite of the decree from the king. And you read about that later. How that Moses would not fear the king. Who didn't fear him to start with? His parents. Many decree today that life in the womb is nothing more than a fetus and that the mother has a choice. And if the child interferes with her plans, abort the child. Let me ask you something. Do you think Moses kind of interfered in his parents' plans? Do you think he made it difficult for his parents when he was, no accident of his own? He didn't desire to be born. I mean, mom and dad, Do you think he kind of interfered with what was happening in their lives, putting their lives in danger? Boy, the easiest thing for them to do would have been to abort him if that had been available. But since that's not available, do what they even now, our government's okay. Kill them after they're born because they interfere, because they get in the way. How many sleepless nights as she hides him, and she too is in danger. And the decree of the king today says that Bible methods are outdated and you must not spank your child. You know what? Disobey the government. Obey what God says. A mother who is swayed by faith in God is not swayed by public opinion. She will love her child as the Bible says to love her child. And you can go to the book of Proverbs for so much instruction on that. Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Proverbs 29:15 actually mentions mothers, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A mother could be mute, unable to speak, but if she has a rod, that rod alone, the rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod does, but so does the reproof. And a mother's stare gives reproof. I know. Proverbs 29:17, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. He shall give delight unto thy soul. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So she had faith in God, and because of her faith in God, she disobeyed those who would have her disobey God. Her faith not only disobeys, it disregards. I wrote down two things, there's probably more, but she disregarded the suffering. She hid him. How do you hide an infant anywhere for 3 months when most people would be enjoying somewhat their newborn? And I say that because I know how hard it is, but I don't know it near as much as my wife did. She, Jochebed, had to squelch his natural crying. I mean, what does a baby do? A baby cries. As soon as it's hungry, as soon as it's sleepy. No doubt there was terror every time a soldier walked by. Horror, thinking that next knock on the door is because somebody heard. Maybe they'll think it's a little girl, not a little boy. No doubt, Jochebed had nightmares of them snatching her baby. And she could just envision that baby being cast into the Nile River and the filthy water entering his lungs as he makes his last cries. Suffering. She had to disregard the suffering. She had to disregard, number two, the success, because the possibilities of success were quite remote. The odds were stacked against her. We can't do this forever. I mean, imagine. I mean, you've got this. Let's say the child does grow up to be a year old, and at a year, you've at least taught him not to be crying. You've had to really focus on that. Well, what's a little boy going to want to do? Go outside and play. You know, sometimes our faith is inactive because the outcome seems impossible. I hear people saying there's no use trying to raise God-fearing children in an evil society. That is not the statement of a faithful mother. She will never say that. So a faithful mother's refusal is seen and that she disobeys and disregards. Number two, a faithful mother's release. Here in Exodus chapter 2, we see this in verses 3 and 4. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. She doesn't know what's going to happen. That's why Miriam, Moses' sister, stands by and says, oh, what's going to happen? But she put him in there by faith, trusting God. It's It's an act of faith to hide him for 3 months, but when that's no longer possible, she didn't abandon hope and did not abandon the child. She releases the child completely into God's care and into God's providence. Imagine placing a child in a little boat that you've made and putting it in a river. What kind of feelings would you as a mother have? What kind of emotions? And yet it was not feelings that made Jochebed do what she did. It was faith. Faith in God sometimes goes against your natural affections. The same river that she places him in was the same river that was an instrument of death to so many Hebrew children. And that same river saved baby Moses. And yet it wasn't the river which was merciful. The ancient Egyptians worshiped the Nile. It wasn't the river that was merciful, but the God in whom she had placed her faith. She releases Moses into the care of God. Moms, how about giving up your child to God's care in spite of the emotional turmoil? Every time that child deserves a spanking, you get emotional and go, oh, I don't want to do this. This is hard. I love my child. Then spank him. Then spank her. And it's not just spanking that shows love. It's those expressions of love. Spanking is one of them. It's no accident that you read in Hebrews 11:27 that Moses forsook Egypt. It literally means Moses left Egypt behind. Last week we saw Moses was learned in all the ways of Egypt. He had a promising future and he forsook that. He left that all behind. It's no accident that he did that, releasing himself into God's care because he had a mom who did the same thing. A faithful mother's refusal, a faithful mother's release, and now a faithful mother's reward. Let's read verses 5 to 10 of Exodus chapter 2. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister, this is Miriam, to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee, I will pay you to raise your own child. She doesn't know. I will pay you. That's why I call this a faithful mother's reward. God is able to take something that looks so disastrous and switch everything around and reward the faith of a man or a woman, a mother right here. So there's two kinds of rewards. First of all, there's this physical reward. Verse 8, the child is to be restored to its mother. Jochebed never did lose her child. Why? She had released him to God. So many parents lose their children because they hold on to them rather than saying, you need to do what God has called you to do. And so it's hard sometimes. How we need to release our children to God. Here, the decree of God overrides that of Pharaoh. God is behind the scenes, ordering everything to happen his way. Even Pharaoh's daughter being there at that exact moment, at that exact place, is God's reward. And even the river's current. Think about it. All the little things that had to happen just right. That the current had that ark in the right place. Pharaoh's daughter's there at the right time. And I say, praise God for his sovereignty. And I praise God for the free will of Jochebed. The faithful mother's reward was not just physical, but it was also spiritual. Folks, it is no accident that a mother who refused the influence of the world had a son who also had a faith that refused. Because last week, and it's the very next verse after Hebrews 11:23 and verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses' mother must have had done everything she could with the short time that she knew that she had to teach Moses the most important things. And I think it's always good for us to think, you know what? I may not have 18 years. I may not have 16. I may not have 10. She knew her time was short. And she had to prioritize. She must have spent most of her time in teaching him. Teaching about the character a godly man has, but also relating to him the history of his people. Who God is. For somehow, Moses knew what the Lord was saying to him in Exodus 3. Note this. How did Moses know Exodus 3:6? Did he learn this in the public schools in Egypt? God says to Moses when he's of age, when he's near 80, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. How would he know who Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were? I submit to you that he probably learned that from mama and had that instilled into him, had that drilled into him as a young boy. And he had strong convictions because who would he identify himself with in Hebrews 11:24? Well, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was faithful to Jochebed, his faithful birth mother, who had instilled in him the God-fearing faith that he had. And Hebrews 11:26 again says, he, Moses, had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I think he learned that from mama. That when I have faith in God, there's a reward. That's why he could look past so many things. What reward awaits a faithful mother? And it may not even be in this lifetime. But it says in Hebrews 11:24 that he didn't refuse until he was come to years. Till he was grown up. Have you ever thought, you know, when you're thinking about ancient Egypt and Moses heading to the throne and what Jochebed's thinking the whole time? She's watching, she's hearing. Man, I blew it. I tried. I did the best I could. Man, he's living for the crown. If she's still alive, and then he refuses to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, what joy that must have put in her heart. What fear. What are they going to do to him? It's natural for a mother to be concerned that the child will turn out right. But she just lives in the fear of the Lord. The Proverbs 31 woman, according to verse 30, the Bible says, feareth the Lord and has this promise, her children arise up and call her blessed, and she shall be praised. Last week I mentioned that Moses was homeschooled. Well, this is where he was homeschooled. And even if a child eventually ends up going to a public school, the homeschooling should have the greatest impact because there's no accident that the government wants our children at an earlier age. Because it's when they're really young, at this age, that they know they can have the impact. Don't surrender them. The first school of faith for a child is when that child is growing up from infancy to a toddler. And God used a member of the family of wicked Pharaoh to rescue from the water one who would ultimately be used of God to thwart all of the next Pharaoh's wicked devices and decrees. Not only was her child delivered, but his mother's faith was rewarded by the return of her son to her, and an entire nation was wonderfully and miraculously delivered due to the faith of one mother. One child spared to become the one that God used to deliver his nation. In fact, God had Egypt pay for his schooling. Because God sent this lawgiver, Moses, to school so that Stephen could write this or say this in Acts 7, 22 to 23. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was a full 40 years old, God had sent him to school, paid for by the government. But he at first had been inoculated by mama. How often God uses the heathen for his own purposes. How often God uses a mother to prepare a faithful man because she is faithful. She had faith in God. She refused the will of a tyrant. She released her child to God. She enjoyed the reward of her faithfulness. And in eternity, folks, we will learn of other obscure mothers. Jochebeds, whose faith preceded and prepared the faith of their better known children, perhaps. Mothers, your children will trust what you trust. They will trust who you trust. Faithful mother, faithful daughter, faithful son. A caveat. Children still have a free will. They still have a free will. So just because a child goes bad doesn't mean it was mom and dad's fault. They still have a free will. But in the time that you have instill in them, God's word, instill in them, not only by what you say, but by what you do. Do they see your faithfulness? Even now that they're grown and out of the house, do they still see your faithfulness to God? That's the challenge this morning. Let's pray.